I would like to try to answer a question concerning, did Christ have an advantage over us as a man, living without sin, overcoming adversity? Did he have an advantage over us? And for those of you who feel that way or wonder if that could be true, I want to remind you of the apostasy that began in the days of the apostles. And we see this in 1 John 2:18, the spirit of Antichrist. And there were two things the spirit of Antichrist denied. They denied the Father and Son in eternity. But they also denied Christ came in the flesh. To come in the flesh simply means he did not have an understanding of God. He came in the flesh. He was a man. I want to read a text to you, and this is out of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For such a high priest, speaking of Christ, became us. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, maybe when we read this, we're not reading it right. Maybe we're kind of clumping all of this together. Christ became us. Holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Well, if he became us, he wasn't separate from sinners. But he became the sanctified one. He became harmless. He became undefiled. He became separate from sinners and was made to be higher than the heavens. He was not all of that when he was born into this world. To wonder if Christ had an advantage is the spirit of Antichrist. That's the deception. That is the lie that we have been taught. So, how do we consider Christ? Philippians 2, I think Paul addresses this nicely, and you can't hardly build on this any better than what he puts here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that robbery means something grasped or something to be grasped. He wasn't grasping or trying to grasp equality with God. Now, some people may read this and say, see, he was equal with God. Well, that is the Trinity issue. That is the Trinity, that there is a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all co-eternal, co-equal. Yet the Scriptures tell us that the apostasy will deny the Father and Son. In 1 Corinthians 8:6, I believe that's why Paul wrote that. To us, there is but one God, the Father. So when I read this, Christ was not trying and was never compelled to think he was equal to God. He was the Son of God from eternity. Verse 7, but made himself no reputation, and that means he emptied himself. That literally is what that means. He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men. And let's just keep reading this. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the fact that he was in the form of God, but he was not seeking equality with God, and he became a man. To do that, he emptied himself. So the question is, how empty was he? What does it mean he emptied himself? Well, it depends, I guess, how you're going to understand that. Depends on how much of the spirit of Antichrist you're carrying. They denied that he came in the flesh. They deny that he came with a fleshly understanding, not a spiritual. When did he wake up to what was going on, to who he was? Well, this question is answered in Psalm 2. And we're looking at the baptism of Christ. How do we know? Because this happens, what we're going to read in Psalm 2 happened at his baptism. And I want to start reading at verse 4. He that sits in the heavens, or with that heavenly understanding, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, the kings of the earth, the rulers, all these people take counsel against the Lord and his Christ. Verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and trouble them in his sore displeasure. Now for this word yet in verse 6, I just say yes. Yes, I have anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That set, I have set my king, it's 5258 in the Strong's, it means to pour upon. I have poured upon my king. You pour the holy anointing oil upon my holy hill of Zion. Paul says in Hebrews 12, Zion is the church of the firstborn. Verse 7. Then I believe Christ says, I will declare the decree. What decree? The anointing. The Father says, I've anointed my king. Christ says, well, I'm going to declare the decree he made. This was the anointing. Jehovah said to me, you're my son. This day have I begotten you. Now, if you go look at the baptism of Christ, it was at his baptism that God spoke and said, you are my son in whom I am well pleased. And continuing reading in the Gospels, immediately he's driven into a wilderness. By what? By the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God drives him into a wilderness. What Spirit? The fact that God said, you're my son. And in the wilderness, he deals with the inner adversity, which the Bible has labeled Satan. It's that inward adversity that we all have. And it is whispering to him, well, if you're really the Son of God, then turn these stones to be bread. If you're the Son of God, then do this, do that. You see, he was just told he was the Son of God. By who? By God. And that is when he says, you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. In other words, I don't need to prove to myself I'm the Son of God. God just told me I was. And he woke up to that fact. That anointing is what made him Christ or Messiah. It was at that point he became Messiah. It was at that point He realized he was the Son of God. Why is this significant? Because he emptied himself and became a man and humbled himself even to the cross. What about in Luke when he says, I must be about my Father's business? Well, that is just simply saying he was a believer. He believed in God. That's the same thing you and I would say. Our Father in heaven. When he said that, I must be about my Father's business, if he understood that he literally was the Son of God, then he would not have been driven into a wilderness experience at his baptism. So did he have an advantage? He became us. He was a man. And another text, all of these texts become really significant to realize who Jesus was and who he is, what he accomplished. In Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, who in the days of his flesh, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made complete, he came to be the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He authored eternal salvation in the flesh. Well, if he authored it, then it didn't exist until he authored it. Eternal salvation. Salvation is not simply going to heaven. He died to redeem us from iniquity. Salvation is having the iniquity removed, so that we can be made in the image of Jesus Christ. If the Trinity were true, and if he had an advantage, how could you be made in his image? How does that even compute? He came to destroy the works of the devil by giving us an understanding of iniquity, allowing us to make decisions every day, every moment of the day, of walking in love, grace governing us, and walking in love, again, being made in his image.